Welcome, everyone. We'll get started in just a couple of minutes.
Chris.
Sorry, I was talking on mute. Yes, someone was asking for me.
So I sent you a message. I know you got some items on the agenda today, but I was wondering if we have time, can I revisit that cross-domain logical link that we talked about last week?
We should be able to squeeze that in. Let me create a ticket for it so we don't lose it. You wanted the cross provider link?
Yep.
Okay. Got it. Okay, while we're waiting for a few more people to join, just a quick review of the agenda. We are in that time of the release, just before M3, where we need to do architecture reviews for each project. As last time, what we're looking for are changes from the previous release, S3P updates, and model alignment, and any API changes. So I've asked teams to come back with 10-minute updates on each project. We have four scheduled for this week. And then we have additional ones scheduled next week, the 14th, and also the 21st. And in addition to those reviews today, I want to bring up the face-to-face meeting logistics, and then also, as we just talked about, the cross-provider link. Anything else while we're agenda bashing? Okay. Well, it looks like we have critical mass. So I'm going to stop and turn this over to the portal team. Is the portal team here? Okay, why don't we push that down? Pam, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure, I'll go ahead.
Great.
Okay, start sharing here. Okay. All right, I put together, sorry, I misspelled something here. I put together our architecture review in this wiki page. And for as far as architecture for Beijing, we're still producing the same architecture. We haven't changed anything yet, although we're reworking on the architecture for a future release. We had a meeting with you earlier this year on it, but we'll update you at some other point on how that is going. But for this review, mainly a lot of the work that we have going on is the new security requirements. We're focusing a lot on scale out, and we have a new component that we're building for integration with the SDC service distribution, which is asked for by the HPA use case to enhance that. So for the S3P, we're heavily working on that right now. It seems to be quite a bit of work, and so it's very resource intensive right now. And so the folks are working on that. We're still at passing on our best practices. And with the new CLM jobs coming in, our security vulnerability template looks pretty good. It looks about the same as it was at the end of Beijing. Again, a lot of our stuff is inherited from Portal team. The Faxter Jackson stuff, I don't believe we're using it in that way, but most of this is, most of those are either false positives or it's the Portal SDK, who managed to actually remove quite a few of them since Beijing. So we're only down to maybe four or five of them. And some weird licensing things. So we're working on things with there are some open items with the new Apex PDP engine, but we're pretty sure we're going to get those resolved and we'll update the template with that. We're good on code coverage, no problem there. For manageability, our goal was to get the logging specification up to date. So it was hit or miss on the Amdocs folks as to whether they were or they were not going to work on this, but Michael O'Brien, as of yesterday, sent a note that he should be able to acquire the folks, and he's going to work with Policy and Portal to get this finished. So we hope to get that done. Scalability and resiliency. We were good on scalability for our current engines. Ericsson's going to add it for the new Apex PDP. And I'm just highlighting that right now they're not MVP to the release. And just to say that, you know, none of the integration tests or the use cases are using their engine yet. So it'll be a TBD as to how and when they'll actually become MVP. But they're probably going to get all that work done for them. For resiliency, our new application component that receives policy service attribution, we expect that to be resilient. And again, we're counting on Intel. According to Alex, that said that he's going to be able to provide resources for that. At the moment, we're still building the application itself, but pretty soon, within the next 2 weeks, this work should start. We hope to get that at least figured out. Same thing with usability. We'll need to document that a component, and Ericsson has a ton of documentation already for the Apex PDP, and so that's no worries on that part. For performance, we've enhanced the Jules PDP performance That's we've been tracking or showing that work here. And in this wiki page, there's a couple different wiki pages. Actually, we have a single-threaded and multi-threaded version of what that performance is. That's pretty solid. So that's good. So what we don't have is we don't have performance for our Zacmel PDP. We didn't get that done. And I'm not sure if we'll get that done for Casablanca. It's on the list of to-dos, but we have a few other items that are higher priority. And so if I could have another resource from somewhere, maybe we could for sure get that done. And again, the Ericsson team here is going to make sure the Apex's PDP performance is going to be there. Same thing with stability. Again, the current ones are pretty good. We need to add that for the new application component. Should be real easy work here, but again, we're counting on Intel for that. And again, Ericsson will help out. We'll do their own stability testing. For information data model alignment, we previously haven't been needed to be aligned with them, but now that we are part of the policy SDC service distribution, and there's going to be policies that are going to be expressed or captured within the CSAR, we'll need to start being aligned with the information data model. And some of that is ongoing, and so Alex is trying to help get that aligned up, and so that'll be new for us going forward. Okay. Again, our API, we're not changing our current API. We're going to keep it as is. The redesign, we had a meeting with your folks, I can't remember when, a month or two ago, about our new lifecycle APIs. We're still working on that, and I don't anticipate, that we're going to continue working on it through the end of Casablanca, but it won't be till Dublin until we start actually making it available for new applications to utilize. That's all I have.
Thank you, Pam. Any questions? Great. Very good. Thanks. I appreciate the update.
Thank you.
Just one quick question for Pam. There's no new, sorry, I might have missed it, but there's no new interfaces in this release.
The interface is the policy, the SDC distribution. That's a new, we're creating a new application for that. And so there'll be a new Docker image in that. And we're just basically following, the SDC has an SDK for that. So we implement the SDK. And so it's a new in that is a new application.
Okay, it's new for policy, but it's not new for ONAP.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm not sure if we captured that in the policy document that you pulled together for approval, Chris.
Okay. I thought I did, but if I didn't, if I wasn't explicit on that,
it's a question. I don't know. I haven't checked, but okay.
We'll have to double check that.
Yeah, I didn't. I followed what I did last for Beijing on this, and so maybe if there's a template or something that I would.
No. It's just that the document that Chris pulled together, which is a summary of the architecture work. Also has the interfaces and interfaces consumed or offered. In fact, this would be an interface offered from a policy point of view.
Isn't that like in the M1, M2 templates or checklist where we put that?
It's in the approved architecture document, but I can circle back with you afterwards, Pam, and we can close the loop on this.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Great, thank you. So next is DCAE. BJ?
Hey, Chris. Yeah, I'm on. Let me share.
Great.
Okay, let me know when you see it.
Yes, I see it.
Okay, great. All right, so to start with, DCAE for R3, I wanted to just briefly go over what the DCAE is. As a black box, in terms of the interfaces, what we are having for R3 is pretty similar to what we covered in R2. The this slide is, again, something we had shared with the architecture team in R2. As you see here, the interfaces for DCAE has two kinds. One, what we are providing to the services, what we deploy, and for the external interface. So the data collection interface is the primary interface for us to get the data from the network elements. And the deployment interface here, which is referred as more for dynamic application instantiation supported through CLAMP. And the config binding interface is an internal API we provide for all the service component to extract the configuration from the Cloudify KV store. I'm sorry, console KV store. In terms of the consumed interface, DMAP is one of the major critical component we use for all the service interactions. And we also have some components doing the ANI enrichment for the closed loop flow. And SDC is flow is used for the model distribution into DCAE. Any blueprints or models being onboarded into ONAP can be consumed through this interface. And of course, the policy interface, which is driven for more dynamic configuration update for the service component. So this pretty much all the interface listed here are same similar to what we had in R2. And nothing changes here, except we are adding some new collectors, which I'll go through in the next slide. And in terms of the 10,000 foot view of what are the impacts from DCAE, before I go there, so the DCAE components can be split into four classifications. One is the platform components, which are more static, deployed part of the ONAP DCAE instantiation, and they manage the lifecycle of the service components. And also the configuration update and others. So for R3, the platform architecture for DCA is close to what we had in R2. We are making some enhancements, but overall the architecture still remains intact. As far as the service component, which are more dynamic components, dynamic deployed components in DCA, we are adding a couple of new services for R3 to support the use cases, but we'll go through that shortly. And other major focus is S3P, where we are having some platform updates to support the new S3P goals we are targeting for R3. And in terms of deployment, also it's close to what we had in R2. Pretty much all the components were containerized in R2, so we were able to support the OEM deploy, so that will hold good for all the new components we are introducing as well. Moving further, so in terms of the new components, as I mentioned, there are the service components, which are dynamic. So within service component, we classify them under three types: the collectors, analytic services, and event process. So we are adding two new collectors for R3. HVWare is coming from Nokia team, which is going to be supporting Google Protocol Buffer TLS TCP. And the data file collector is coming from Ericsson, which is more for bulk data file collection. So both the contributions are, we have the seed code in place, and for HVWare data file collector, Ericsson team is still working on, which is not yet in JRET yet. As far as the event process, so these are microservices which are involved in enabling the closed loop flow. So we have Best Mapper and PM Mapper, which are using primarily for converting the different format received from the VNF into West, which can be leveraged by the existing microservice like DCA homes for closed loop support. PRH is going to be more for registering the new PNF being instantiated. This was introduced in R2, but it was not deployed. Now it's going to be part of the ONAP DCA deployment as well. In terms of the analytics update, we are looking at introducing a new DCA Gen 2. So this is going to be functionality-wise similar to what we had from the DCA CDAP version, but it has a couple of optimization being done from overall, and it's purely Docker-based. It's no longer on a CDAP framework. And we are discussing with Cisco team on the Panda platform integration. For R3, our scope is more of identifying a solution in terms of how the Panda platform can be integrated with DCAE. From the discussion so far, this will be requiring ONAP or DCAE to support a bunch of VMs for setting up the Panda infrastructure itself. This is one thing I wanted to bring to the architecture team notice. If there is a feedback or on this, we'd like to hear, because ONAP currently, pretty much all the components are containerized in R2 and R3. And with the discussions with Panda team, it looks like, the infrastructure has to be all VM-based, and how we integrate with whether OEM or DCA is something we are still in the discussion currently. But this does impact going forward in terms of how we want to handle it. So for R3, the plan is to more identify how the integration solution is going to be worked out. So we're going to have some follow-up with OEM team to see how the VM infrastructure can be deployed, whether it's something OEM team should, it's part of the OEM deployment, or it should be part of DCA. So that's something we'll follow up and we'll close on. In terms of the overall flow and architecture, so all the event data flow is through the service component here, and pretty much all the interfaces through DMAP. And the components which are darkly shaded are all the new components being introduced for R3. And the platform architecture is pretty much intact in terms of the components we have, and the interfaces to Clamp, SDC, policy are same as what we had in R2. And moving ahead, in terms of the overall enhancements to the platform, we are looking at integrating with the bus controller. This will enable dynamic topic provisioning. So this is something we're adding this capability to the platform, but not necessarily use in the R3 deployment, but something we'll leverage in the future Dublin release. We're also looking to integrate the DMAP DR, as some of the services we are onboarding are going to be using DMAP DR. And also another parallel work we are having with the AAF team is to identify how the certificate management and dynamic distribution can be done for DCA components. In terms of the modeling updates, there was a WES 7.01, which was released two weeks back, and we are working on updating our collectors to support that. Part of that integration, and the collector is going to be receiving 7.0 and also translating that to 5.4. That way, the existing DCA and Homes microservice can utilize the data without impact to support the new 7.1. And the component spec is, again, metadata we collect for all the services, which is used in onboarding. So that's, again, we're going to continue for the new services we are adding for R3. Okay. And in terms of S3P enhancements, currently we are on level one. We are looking to enable some of the platform component to support HTTPS. So there is changes to deployment handler, WES collector, CBS, and inventory API to support this capability in R3. We're also, again, working with AAF to have a certificate generated for these components and deployed during ONAP for DC instantiation. And the rest all are other activities we're currently working, like CAA passing badge and Sonar. Sonar, we are good with all the existing components. We are yet to evaluate that for the new services being introduced. CLM also the same status. In terms of the performance metric, we are trying to collect the baseline performance for the two services, WES Collector and TCA, this being the primary components used in most of the closed loop flow currently. So that's something we are working to gather for R3 documentation. And in terms of the other S3P goals, we are improving on the logging standard for some of the components which is not compliant to the ELF in R2. And we are also going to be support the centralized logging. We part of the deployment of dynamic new services, we'll include a file beat sidecar container to collect the logs as well. In terms of usability, we are having some improved documentation to cover the new service onboarding experience in R3. We're also providing a new DCA CLI environment, which the onboarding component can use for testing their services, coming up with the models, what they need for onboarding and evaluate. I mean, basically they have an environment now to test their components and specs before they even start integrating with DCA. So that's something we are going to be providing for R3. And also the API documentation update is more around the 7.01 WES update because that's the only new API update we have for R3. In terms of resiliency, stability, and scalability, we are on the same level from R2. Nothing significant changes on that. And lastly, these are the current APIs we support, and yeah, so we'll be updating the documentation around that for West to support the 7.1. Pretty much others are the same as R2. And that's about it. Yeah, any questions?
Hey, Vijay, this part is a clarification question. Could you go back to that architecture diagram, the last one you, yeah. You mentioned Panda. Is this Panda is going to introduce a new API and how that is captured here?
Right. So as you noted, the Panda is more of an solution design identification for R3. We are not delivering any components in Panda or Panda itself for R3. So what we are working with Cisco team is identify, so they have done some work internally on the Cisco labs to deploy Panda, but the question is more since the architecture of PCA has evolved and also ONAP going towards OEM based, we're now having the discussion how to integrate the Panda infrastructure setup with ONAP and DCAE. But for R3, it's more of I would say planning for R4. We are going to come up with a design and contribute some of the infrastructure related code, but it's not going to be deployed per se for R3 though. So that's why it's not listed here. But yeah, that's an ongoing work we are going to have to come up with the design for integration, which will go into Dublin though.
It would impact both the collection layer and also the analytic and execution, correct? Both, yeah?
Not necessarily. Right? The collectors are going to be still deployed the way it is. It's going to be posting the data into DMAP. So the Panda application, when set up, it's some of the analytics can be deployed in Panda, and then they will be getting the same feed through DMAP. So yeah, I mean, it's just that the interface it'll be a new set of infrastructure parallel to what the TCA CDAP we had, and then the data flow through existing service into Panda application will still be through DMAP. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Great. Thank you, Vijay.
Chris, no questions specific to this. Just would these presentations be available for reference later?
Vijay, will you make sure to post this on the contributions page, please?
Yeah, well, I'll also add it to the DCAE site under the release release folder. Yeah.
Perfect.
Right, thanks. And same with Pamela, I guess.
That one was already on the wiki, so I'll make sure it's linked. I'm doing something a little bit different with the notes pages, and I'm tracking directly to the JIRA tickets. So I'll make sure that that's included in there. Okay. So why don't we go on to the next one. Do we have Manu for Portal? Or Michael for SDC? Okay. Michael said he was going to be a little late. So Kyung, why don't we do the cross-provider link? And then we'll circle back on the reviews after that.
Okay. Can I share? Do you need to assign permission to share for me to share?
No, you should just be able to do that from the button kind of in the middle of your screen on the bottom.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. So we discussed this last week. This is the diagram of the scenario for CCVPN. And we're talking about how to link the information from one ONAP domain to the other, and how we can record that in ANAI. So I've redrawn the diagram because there was some discussion about the scenarios. So I've got this diagram here, which I think represents the the case where one of the providers is the primary and the other one is the third party. So in that case, the ONAP domain belonging to the primary service provider has most of the information for this connection. In here, I've called it that there's a P interface connected to a biological link to another P interface. And the third party ONAP domain just has its local information about its P interface. And there's some linkage here between the data in the primary ONAP domain and the third party ONAP domain. So what I've suggested here is that most of these objects will be created under the local network namespace in ANAI. But this one, which is linked to the other ONAP domain, is created in external ANAI network namespace, which is linked to some ESR information for that other domain. The other diagram that I redrew is this one, which is more of the peering relationship. So in this case, both sides have the information about the full connection. So they both have a P interface connected by logical link, and there's a correspondence here where this P interface is the source of truth is from ONAP domain 1, and on the right hand side the source of truth is from ONAP domain 2, and they have some corresponding information pointing to each other about the other ONAP domain. So I've written this up as a schema for ANAI. The original thing that I wanted to do was to put it under the external system namespace, but that's not exposed as part of the API. It's an internal thing for the ESR. The next thing I tried to do was to put a new top-level namespace, but I think that needs some code changes, which I didn't want to play around with. So what I've ended up with is to put it as a new object under the network namespace. So here's a mock-up of the schema for network, and there's a new relationship here, which I've called ext AAI networks. So you can see how under network, there's a number of subcomponent relationships, which is for all the objects in the network. And similarly, for in the business, there's another set of objects. So what I've done with the external AAI network is to basically mirror the relationships here, such as logical links, VPN bindings, PNFs, etc., as well as providing some ID and a link to the ESR system info. So the ESR system info has fields for passwords and port numbers and URLs, so we can access the other ONAP domain, and the idea being that anything that's created under as a subcomponent under this object is actually related to the object which is in the other ONAP domain. So we create one of the P interfaces under the network namespace, which represent the local object. Another one is created under the external AAI network, which represents the other ONAP domain, and then we can create a logical link or whatever other object and use the relationship list to link the two objects together. So this is a little bit more than what we strictly need for the CCVPN use case, but I'm thinking that this could be generally applicable. We could expand this list out to cover every object that's in the network namespace, and possibly we could also do the same thing for every object in the business namespace, or maybe also the cloud infrastructure namespace. The other section is probably not relevant, but once we have all of those three, then basically we cover any object in an ONAP in the ONAP schema being linked from another ONAP domain. So, yep, that's basically it. I've already written this up and generated some documentation. So this is the Swagger HTML, and you can see all the URLs and relationships here. And basically I'm giving this to our dev team to try and use it and develop their code to this API. Any questions?
Kyung, have you spoken with the ANAI team on this?
Yes, sir. I had a meeting the day after last week's architecture meeting, which I presented basically the same thing here, and I've been speaking, keeping in touch with Jimmy and Harish about all the schema changes and things that I need to do.
Great. Any other feedback or questions? Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so moving along in the agenda, next I'd like to talk about the logistics for the face-to-face meeting. We were talking about October 8th, the week of the 8th, and it works for quite a number of people, but I heard back from people in China, and that's a problematic week for some of our Chinese colleagues. It's coming right after a number of them were in Europe, and then also the Golden Week holidays. So there's difficulty with both the timing and then also with the location that the visa requirements are more strict to get into the U.S. There was a question that came in through email, and I want to circulate here. Could we move the meeting 1 or 2 weeks, and would it be possible to do it in a country outside the U.S., such as Canada, if we wanted to go up to Montreal or somewhere like that. So I want to open this up for discussion with the rest of the team, whether that change makes sense or whether it's not going to work for some reason. So let me open the floor for thoughts from anyone on the team.
So this is Margaret. I guess be Mao on because he was the one. Okay, so Paul's on. So this is the concern. We're going to do modularity, so you need people who really understand the code in depth, so we don't go too much into philosophy, but more closer to what's really got implemented, how, when, and how, as we figured this out. And so the discussion was there's a lot of the PTLs who happen to be in New Jersey, or a lot of the key developers and a lot of these components know it well to help us in the discussion. And they will not be able to fly all the way. Well, that was the reason why they proposed the AT&T location. And then I know some of the Nokia folks, aren't they? Sometimes some of them were probably in New Jersey. I know Ben.
Try one thing. Is this the same thing as the functional decomposition offsite, or is this?
Yes. 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 That's what we're talking about. That's what the focus is.
For the functional decomposition, I'm not sure. I think the process we're putting in place is certainly will require people who understand the individual components well, but it's not something you do with 100 people in the room.
Oh, I agree.
Right.
I agree.
We talked about this on last week's call, and we thought it would be between 30 and 50, probably a little bit larger than what we had in Vancouver, but comparable to that.
So we'll probably won't get much done.
Well, what do you suggest? The problem is, let's go back. The problem is, we want to do modularity overall, right? So now you need key people on the different modules there. Right.
So I think the process we're proposing for the functional decomposition certainly requires people who understand different modules as they exist today, or different contributions as they exist today. But I think what we also want to have is an open mind that the current way we're organized may need to change. So I think what we need to also do maybe is to we also may need to do some pre-work, because if we're going to have 30 to 50 people trying to come up with an initial proposal, will be impossible.
No, we weren't proposing that.
That's what we talked about. I believe it was you and Steve and Gil and maybe a couple others were going off to do some homework beforehand. And this was where we came together as a community.
Okay, so just want to make sure the expectations are set clearly. Okay.
Well, so do we want to, so what's happening, actually, to be fair, some of the folks who make comments, they're not necessarily in the middle of this coding. So do you want to focus it on, like, I don't know, a handful of folks that are just PTL and maybe a couple other?
I would argue that we need, we probably need PTLs. And my understanding, by the way, was slightly different. My understanding was that the offsite was going to be used to come up with the initial proposal. And then in the subsequent meetings, we would go through it and go into the next level of detail and whatnot.
Oh, well, that's true. They'll be iterative. That's valid.
And iterative is probably better, because, you know, to come up with the initial proposal, we need a much lesser number of people. But to get everybody to nod their heads and to kind of agree in general, we're going to need much more, obviously. So my thought was, not a handful, but, you know, a relatively small number of people would meet somewhere. I don't have a preference, I guess, one way or another, other than I'm looking at a list of ENSI meetings and other meetings that are happening, you know, during the same time, and I'm wondering where we're going to find the place to meet. So maybe meeting on the East Coast is reasonable, because it's halfway between Europe and the U.S. and I guess, you know, that kind of puts the folks in the Asia Pacific kind of. But if people are traveling, maybe that's a good central location, I guess. And we also need to look how many people are going to come if this is just an initial proposal.
Well, I think there probably maybe we need two meetings. One, if you want to have a small group meeting of under 10 people. But the second one, if we want to get this into Dublin, we need to get community buy-in early. And that would mean sometime in October. So I think we are going to have to sit down with the projects and not just the eComp related projects, but also the ones coming in from OpenO to make sure that the various teams are on board for the proposal.
Right.
So
I'd be in favor of a more iterative approach. So we can decide how many people are impacted.
What we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks is the larger meeting with the community, akin to what we did at the OpenStack meeting for Casablanca. We originally said we wanted to do it the week of October 8th, but the issue that came up last week through email is that that's very problematic for people in China. And so that's what I want to address on today's call is, would one of the following 2 weeks work? And if so, would it be possible to do that, say, in Canada? Let's say Montreal just for a starting point, because it's relatively close to New Jersey. Maybe people could even drive instead of having to fly, if that makes it easier.
Can I suggest that we pick a city other than Montreal or Ottawa, because they're very expensive in terms of air fares? maybe going to Toronto or somewhere else might actually be better, because I don't know why they're expensive tickets, but they are.
Okay. So
this is for the small group?
No, this is for the large group.
Oh, the large group.
Chris?
Yes.
Date-wise, I know this, or I've been informed there's some sort of OSN days coming up in that's on the 12th and 15th, or that week, in Asia.
Okay.
That's probably good to avoid.
Yeah, okay, so not the week after that, but could do the second week after if we...
Yeah, that could be, that could work from that point of view, yeah. Yeah,
so that would be... the 22nd, week of the 22nd.
Yeah, that could be. At least I don't detect the conflict then.
There are some conflicts on week of the 22nd, but I wonder,
Chris?
Both 12 and 15 at the same issue, same event that Steve just mentioned? Because you said week of 12th and 15th. There are two different weeks.
12th through 15th. That's when they're doing the OSN days in Asia.
Well, then making 16th through 19th, that may be sufficient. Do you want a week-long event or do you want a 2-3 days event?
2-3 days, but if people are flying back from Asia, you know, if you wanted to go to North America, you'd essentially have to account for 2 days.
Well, you're going from Asia to America, you don't lose any days.
Right, actually. Same day that way.
It's the same day. So basically 17th through 19th is a perfect opportunity then.
19th, 18th, 19th, okay, I'm in the wrong month.
that's what I was suspecting, because it cannot be 12th through 15th.
Mm-hmm. No, it's 12th and 15th, 12th and 15th.
Well, then 17th through 19th works, and either Montreal or Toronto or New Jersey, well, those are all good opportunities for me.
Hey, but, Chris, that might be problematic for the AT&T folks if you do the 17th to the 19th, because we have a major release that weekend.
Okay. So
like the prep for like, the, yeah, it would be like the 18th to the 21st. So if you did it like the week of the 22nd, it would probably be better.
Okay. So we're talking, we can either do it the week of the 8th where it is now, or the week of the 22nd. How does the 22nd work for people?
22nd won't work for at least some of us on the call. I don't know who Anatoly is going and others, but it's...
I agree with Alex. Week of 22nd has an overlap. It's an Etsy event hosted by Sprint in the US.
And it's the whole week?
It's a whole week. And the week of 8th is a 3GPP event in India.
Okay. So at least some people are affected. Okay.
Yeah, week of 29th, you know, probably based on Ling Li's request to shift it out in timeline, or does it get too close to the December meeting?
Yeah, well, it's getting too close to our release date. And that's going to start affecting PTL availability. We'd be right in RC2 then. And also, you know, for the architecture team, we're supposed to have things pulled together, you know, closer to the beginning of the release. So 29th becomes problematic from the architecture committee point of view. We really need to look at something a little earlier.
Can we get a confirmation that the week of 15th actually has some problem with events scheduled in Asia? Because Friday and Monday, it's kind of strange scheduling.
Yeah, but these are the OSN days. There's not one. It's something. It's in China, Shanghai, October 12th, if I understand, Singapore on 15th. And I'm not sure who's going to what there. That's what they were supposed to talk about from the marketing thing. I guess that'd be up in the TSC.
Well, if it's marketing, then it's probably a different set of people that go to those events, right? So it's the, like, you know, Linux Foundation marketing meetings versus ONAP technical meetings, right?
Maybe we should identify who really needs to be Oh, this is the bigger meeting, so anyone can come.
Yeah.
Never mind. The smaller one, though, we should identify who should be there, and then maybe that team decide versus opening it up to everybody to vote. Right.
Margaret, when you say smaller, Margaret, is that the one VMAL was setting up?
Well, no. VMAL was doing the smaller one. The problem is it turned into a bigger one. Well, so that's the discussion.
We've been talking about this as a bigger one for a couple of weeks.
I remember some of this I fleshed out with VMAL at a dinner. So the goal is what was proposed was to have a smaller group. That's where the heart of it is. And then it proposes it to the bigger group. VMAL was planning on a group, doing it all at once, okay? So we didn't think of two versions of a meeting. So what I was going to say was figure out who should really be in the small meeting and let them decide and vote where it should be. And the bigger meeting, fine, continue this discussion.
That might make sense if there's a logistics problem. I mean, if we can get the right people at the, we'll call it the first meeting that VMAL was going to host, if that could be worked, that makes sense. It seems reasonable to me. If we can get the right people at the first meeting, call it VMAL's meeting for shorthand.
Okay. So is Parviz on the call? Parviz,
are you still here? I think he dropped off.
Okay.
No, I'm here. Sorry. I was on mute. Sorry, Alex.
So I'm trying to understand how this fits into all the meetings we've been having. So there's an Architecture Tiger Team meeting, then there's another meeting to kind of focus on the modularity, and that's been attended by six people that I know of. And VMAL has not attended that meeting at all. So I'm just trying to understand if we're aligned even on what needs to happen and who's driving what.
Okay. Let me say something here. Chris, for the VMAL's meeting, I guess he has a good reason to put it in East Coast near the AT&T facility, because the PTLs are, most of the PTL or the most relevant PTLs they can attend, okay? So we should perhaps keep that meeting intact. Lingley's issue, should we shift the time that can meet Lingley and the China participants, what they're asking for?
Well, that's what I'm asking. That's what I'm asking. If there's another week that works for people, and if we can do it somewhere outside the U.S., that's easier for people from China to travel to.
So yeah, let's focus on that one first. Yeah. Okay,
guys, let me just understand. So are we suggesting we take Parviz's suggestion, VMAL goes ahead with the meeting, the output of that comes to this other meeting?
Is
that
yes.
Well, we may want to adjust the dates on that meeting and make that earlier, just so, you know, if this happens to be back-to-back or if we need to use the week of the 8th for the bigger meeting, because that's the only time people can get together. We may need to have the small group meeting of, let's say, 10 or fewer people, prior to that. So if we wanted to do that even sometime in September, we may need to move that around a little bit.
Well,
all right. The general approach that Harvey suggested seems reasonable to me.
Okay. So
we can talk about dates.
Paul, that's okay. Back to Alex's point. Alex is right. We cannot really bring a big crowd and then say we can accomplish something. I guess Alex and others that are already engaged in the technical discussion, maybe, Chris, we should have that small team meeting maybe somewhere in California. It's just maybe less than 10 people, 10, 12 people, okay? So we should do that.
I really support it. This is Ramki. Yeah. California is even
Well, the point, wait, guys, the point.
Stop. You got to decouple these. Margaret, let's decouple this. We've got a group of people who's already working on this. Let them go off and do their proposal. And then let's have the bigger group meeting where we can get critical mass of PTLs and other project people together make sure that this is going to work and to get some concrete steps that we can take in Dublin.
Yes.
So, Chris, one aspect to consider. So I think just like project PTLs, we need to make sure key folks driving the functional requirements are also involved. Because, I mean, functional requirements, people have been looking at the end-to-end view, right? I mean, you know, on the aspects they're driving.
I think it's important. Functional decomposition has much to do with the end-to-end views. I think what we're trying to propose is something based on an operational view of ONAP, which is how to do these things.
All I'm saying is definitely I completely understand, but sort of the more from an end-to-end angle, right? So basically, of course, projects have been delivering certain features, but you know, what's the end-to-end goal, target goal, right? You're proceeding towards. That's coming from the functional requirements. That was my thought. You know, I'm not trying to be prescriptive on that, but I'm saying it's good to get input. That's all.
Sure. I think if we do it in California sometime, I can certainly try to host it. That's not a big deal. As long as it's small, I'm not going to be able to do, you know, a huge event. Or we can do somewhere else. But I guess a smaller group is much easier to organize.
Yes.
Okay. So let's focus on the bigger meeting now, because we need to lock down some dates and some locations. You know, it sounds like there's at least someone who's going to be affected any week that we do in October. But can we see if there's critical mass for one of the subsequent weeks? It sounds like if we do the week of the 15th, it has to be beginning of that week, and then that'll impact anyone who's doing the OSN days. And it sounds like the other possible period would be the week of the 22nd, if we moved it from the week that we have it now with the 8th.
So this, again, then if we're talking about October 22nd through the 26th, then there's an ETSI event. So would prefer not to schedule over it. What about the 29th?
Then we're getting too close in the ONAP releases. Then we're at the RC2 milestone, and everybody's going to be heads down trying to get the release out. And also, from the architecture perspective, we need to be further with our plans.
Can we take a closer look at the week of 15th? Basically, I've heard AT&T is concerned that the end of the week is close to their release date, and beginning of the week may have problems for some, but I haven't heard a single person actually expressing the concern.
So what we're talking about then is 15th through 17th?
Maybe.
Anyone have issues with that?
May potentially. That's why I raised it. I think that was obvious.
But I'm trying to see how many people are affected.
I'm just asking the question.
I'll have to follow up. I don't see Vimal on the call, so I'll have to ping him and see if the beginning of the week is going to be possible. Because usually we release prep the entire week and then release.
Yeah, I mean, he's not on the call, but he did raise the release issue in an email, I think, to Chris.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that's going to be a problematic week for the AT&T folks.
Okay. So what we're saying then is we are stuck with the week of the 8th, but if we pushed it to the end of the week, if we did it outside of the country, if we could find a host in Canada or Europe or somewhere else, would that work for people?
But I thought the issue with that, Chris, was the PTLs that Vimal mentioned last time wouldn't be able to do that.
So even if it
I thought that was one of the reasons he offered Middletown.
So even if we did something like Montreal and it was a you know, not too distant location, would that still be a problem?
Wait, are we talking about the big group or the small group?
The big group.
So Paul, the small group is a different discussion. Maybe they should be part of the small group. The middle time.
So I thought we were talking about the bigger group, folks.
We are talking about the bigger group.
No, but what I meant, Paul, maybe you have certain key people in AT&T in the small group instead. And then
right? Because people who prepare the straw man would probably need to explain it to everybody else. So,
I'm so confused. Who's part of the small group?
It's a handful of people that have been meeting since the meeting in Beijing.
What? No.
Hey, Margaret, the small group today is Alex.
Yeah.
Okay. Is David from Siena.
Yeah.
Is Manoj from Netcracker. Is Hobbing is invited from Ziti. It's myself. And we were planning to add, based on the discussion in the ARC meeting, like Steve, and from AT&T, Vimal. This would be the core team.
Yeah, but Vimal wanted more people from the AT&T side to help.
That's the bigger team.
The modularity. Yeah.
Let's not micromanage this here. Let's ask them all what he had in mind and we'll align. One way or another, it sounds like we need to have a big meeting with all the people who have architectural responsibility, use case responsibility, functional use case responsibility sometime in early October. The question is, where are we having it? And we need to be able, the only constraint is we need to accommodate the folks from Asia because they can't get visas for the U.S.
Yeah.
That's it.
So right.
Let's start with that. And Ling Li just said that there's one PTL from China that needs to come. There may be others, I don't know. But let's find a place on Earth where, you know, everyone has to travel pretty much the same amount of time and not in the U.S.
Fine.
The
reason why I brought this up, because Paul's going down a path that he thinks his PTLs need to be at the bigger meeting, which is causing this other problem. And I'm saying the discussion was, really, they need to be part of the smaller group, not to have a lot of AT&T folks, but that, anyhow.
For this bigger meeting, we need to do this outside of the U.S. So it's sounding like, we may have to do it, at the end of the week of the 8th. It doesn't sound like we can find time for the rest of the month. Could we target, say, Toronto or Montreal?
We need, I guess, someone to sponsor us. Who has a location there?
Well, Bell, we can ask them if they'd be available, or MDocs. Before we go too far down that road, would people be able to travel there? Would we be able to get critical mass, in that area? Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, if we needed to, somewhere in Canada, in the East Coast.
We're talking about October or November?
Yes, October.
Okay. I'm fine.
Okay.
I have priorities and preferences, but I think I should be able to wing it, however the date settles.
I think you have to put it out again.
Okay. We'll do our best on the date. It sounds like we have to do it end of the week of the 8th. And be as flexible as we can. So if we did that, Paul, would people from AT&T or anyone else from AT&T, would you be able to come up from New Jersey to Canada for this?
I'd have to verify, Chris. I don't know at the moment.
Okay.
I think we need maybe take some of this offline because I think that we need to talk to some of our folks.
Okay. So let's do that. Let's continue on the email thread.
Guys, Ling Lee has another point, which is really important. Layer 1-3 event in The Hague is on October 8th.
Okay.
So we're kind of shut out of October, I think, unless we do it on the 29th. Or we do it in September. There is another meeting in Montreal on the 17th through the 21st. And it's an Etsy NFV meeting, which is kind of interesting. Perhaps we can do something afterwards.
Okay, why don't we follow up on this through email? We tried to talk about a lot of this last week, and people were saying that September was problematic, and people did not want to do the overlap with the ONS Europe and piggyback on that event. So let's take this to email, and I'd like to see if we can finalize on this shortly. But a good discussion, and we'll see if we can pull it together.
So, Chris, can you? Hold on, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Pervis, go ahead.
Yeah, Chris, the weeks that you have in mind, is that still in flux or fixed, the weeks that you mentioned?
Well, the week that we had tentatively targeted was the 8th. Now we're trying to adjust because not everybody's able to make it that week, particularly the participants from China. So we're trying to see if there's a better week that we can adjust to.
Hey, Chris, this is Shaka. So it seems to me, based on the conflicts that we're discussing, that piggybacking on the ONS Europe may be an option, right?
Yeah. So why don't we keep that in the email possibilities?
Alex, what was the issue? Yeah, go ahead.
Some of us will be 3 weeks on the road already. And so that's the problem.
I mean, can we use a day or two at the tail end of ONS Europe so that people don't have to travel again?
I think that would be nice for everybody who's planning to go out to ONS anyways, is just to piggyback on that meeting. I don't know if we have critical mass, but that would help, I think, for our Chinese colleagues who may already be attending the ONS event.
The issue with attending a piggyback on this and the ONS events is the entry fee.
Yeah, that's the thing.
These are developer. I mean, a lot of these are key developers. They might not be going. I mean, it's a different group of people, guys. People go to ONS. I don't. Guys, right? Think about it. Why they don't necessarily need to go to ONS.
So let's take this to email and see if we can resolve it that way.
Okay.
Let's see. So do we have? Two of the PTLs. Michael Lando, are you on? Or Manoop? Okay, we do have them scheduled for architecture reviews. It looks like they're not available. Let's see. That's it for today. We've got more reviews scheduled I think it's about 8 for next week. I'm going to be on vacation next week. So Shocker is going to run the meeting in my absence. We'll go through the architecture reviews next week, and then also the week of the 21st. Let's continue working on the face-to-face through email and get that resolved as quickly as we can. And I will talk with all of you in a few weeks. Thank you all for your contributions today, and thanks to all the PTLs who volunteered to go early with their reviews.
Thanks, Chris. Enjoy the week off.
All right. Okay. Thank you. All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. Cheers. Bye.